Get a head start on 2025 with CNBC's Big January, the hottest tech event, CES, from Las Vegas. The data, the numbers, the jobs report, and meet the future of biotech and pharma at JPM Healthcare. Check out the Amex Golf Tournament from California, Inauguration Day, and the meeting of world leaders in Davos. Plus, the first Fed decision of the year. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
It's Jeremy White.
You're offered a lifetime supply of Smarties. It's a silent auction. You're at a golf tournament. There's a lifetime supply of Smarties. How much would you bid for that?
I'd bid $300.
$300?
And Joe DiBiase.
I did have the wonder in my mind. Did I have more fun with the Bills during the drought? Didn't you feel alive, though,
during all that?
I felt alive
every
yelling
week,
at you
it
right
It was
now.
Just a drama. Like, what are we going to get this week?
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Hey, everybody. Good morning. I'm watching Tage's Last Shift.
Did you notice anything? Well, I hadn't noticed anything.
Yeah. Got a little crunched.
Samuelson, I saw fall awkwardly. That's where his thing happened.
Tage, maybe a cross check to the forearm? I don't know. Listen.
That'll be very bad.
Is it possible to get a do-over for yesterday?
Just pretend the game didn't
exist. I know
exist.
The Milano news is good, but he's not playing this week.
Right.
Coleman's not playing. Cooper, we don't know. Tage got hurt. The Sabres gave up 7 to Montreal.
Mm-hmm.
Blew multiple leads in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Then got the lead back and then blew it again.
Yeah, it was like the worst goaltending performance in a hockey game I feel like I've ever seen.
It's pretty rough.
Between the fourth Montreal guy only got like 3 shots against him.
Right, but Montreal's starter, I mean, he gave up a couple of softies.
Oh, yeah, he allowed...
Both Tage and Paterka.
He allowed 5 goals on 14 shots.
Yeah.
Is that a point, by the way? How do you only get 14 shots on a goalie that's letting everything in? He got pulled in the middle of the third and they only had 14 shots.
And on a team that has the worst shot share in the NHL. The Sabres, they just thrown together a couple of wins. They are not a high shot rate team. Like, they are not a team that, you know, you look up at the end of the night and it's 32.
Mm-hmm.
It's low numbers. It was low on Saturday, low yesterday. Anyway, good morning, Jeremy and Joe. It's disappointing they lost.
I don't know if there's any player. No, I think this is true. I don't think there's a player on their team that is harder for them to replace
than Tage.
He's
without a doubt.
Like Dahlin, you could argue. I mean, you probably can't argue he's playing better this year because that might be a blowout. But like, you know, if Dahlin had to miss a couple of games and I got to put Power in that role or Byram in that role and play 25, 20 to 27 minutes a night, like I think I could get by. What on earth are they going to do at center?
If
Tage is out. Like, come on, they can't even get Cousins to be good enough to be their second line center right now.
Yeah.
Bumping up to the top line, just good luck. Good luck.
Yeah, tough to think about. Tough. It's got me thinking about who do you feel better about making the playoffs right now? The Sabres or the Dolphins?
Oh, see, I thought you were going to ask the Jets because they're tied with the longest playoff droughts in sports right now.
That's true, but the Dolphins got a nice win last night. I mean, winning on the road in L.A., I mean, it's not really a road environment. We know that. You go to L.A., your fans show out.
Yep.
But the Dolphins' schedule, if you've not seen the Dolphins' schedule, and take a look at their record, and they've already played the Bills twice.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of, you know, your divisional matchups, the Dolphins' schedule from here is Raiders.
Okay.
Patriots.
Okay.
Then the Packers on Thanksgiving. Then Jets, Texans, Niners, Browns, Jets.
All right.
Like so they could if they get wins over the Raiders and the Patriots,
yeah,
and the Jets and the Jets, you know, like what can you steal one against the Texans? Can you beat the Browns? And they could get to 9-8. They could get in.
I might want to bet against that though. Did they look good to you last night?
No, they didn't. Like, nobody looked good because it's funny. It's like Miami's best defensive performance in a long time.
That's really what did it. Yeah.
And
yeah.
The
Rams actually averaged more yards per play in that game than the Dolphins did.
Yeah.
The Dolphins averaged 4.5 yards per play.
And the story on the Rams defense is they've started to get healthy and really started to come on. Like, not the same defense that maybe you saw earlier in the year. They got gashed a ton.
Verse in that game.
Yeah.
He got a strip sack and then also recovered his own fumble.
They've got some great playmakers in that Rams
Jared
defense
Verse.
A little bit. Yep. So, I don't know. Like, Miami is alive. That's, to me, that's a nice win for them.
Yeah.
Is it a win over a team with a winning record? No, not anymore. The Rams are now below 500 if they weren't already.
Like, they're 4-5 now.
Sure.
So they were 4-4.
4-4. Okay. It's a win over a team that I thought, you know, had a chance to win that division.
I would say, of looking at the standings right now, like, somebody goes on a run, right? Like, just, it's inevitable. There's enough teams in it that somebody's going to go 6-2 down
just
the stretch.
Take control, like the
sure.
Bengals, if it's the Bengals or the Chargers.
Right,
or,
like, the Bengals might be the team I would bet on for that. I would not bet on the Colts. Really, okay, if I were to rank, like, the teams that I think are capable of a run like that, I would probably rank the Bengals first, and I might get to the Dolphins next.
Yeah.
I really might.
I think there's an easier case to make that the Jets flat out stink than there is that the Dolphins do. The Dolphins have had to deal with a ton of injuries, and the Jets have not, really. The Jets just have been bad, and
yeah,
they've lost some close games. I was thinking about this on the way, and we'll get to your calls, 803-0550 as well, on the Sabres and on the AFC wildcard picture, because, you know, I was reading Marcel Louis-Jacques kind of lay out that run for Miami, and all right, here's what they've got to do. Win the next two, and then split the next two, and then with three games left, you're alive. Now, they've got to dig out of a hole. There's no doubt about that. And I started thinking about the state of the AFC, mm-hmm, and whether or not we look at the AFC through glasses of the last 4 years, where it's been Bills and Chiefs, and then Bills and Chiefs and Bengals, and then Bills and Chiefs and Ravens. And would you say that this year is a year where maybe, more likely than ever, a wild card team would have a chance to do some damage, whoever that wild card team is? I mean, the wild card team could be Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. It could be Baltimore. The wild card team could be, you know, if you want to say Miami here, or the Chargers.
The Chargers
or
the
Broncos.
Here, yeah.
Or the Bengals. You might have a more balanced AFC in terms of the top seven than years past, because as we, mm-hmm, look at the Chiefs, undefeated, we all look at them and say, not that good. In fact, I saw Aaron Schatz, creator of DVOA, did all the teams to ever get to 9-0 and where they rank.
Yeah.
And some teams that get to 9-0 are amazing teams.
Mm-hmm.
And the Chiefs are like one of the worst to get to this record.
Yep.
He's not saying they're bad. Just that
they're not 9-0 good.
No, what they've done looks to be a little bit unsustainable. You should not expect them to stay undefeated because they don't look like an undefeated caliber team. We see that. Then there's the Bills, who, you know, what are the Bills this year? Are they better than years past, or do they have a better record than years past? I think that's debatable. Is this the best Bills team of the Josh Allen era? I don't think it is. They do have the best record at this point, mm-hmm, of any team in the Bills' Josh Allen era, because the Bills have never been 7-2 since 1993.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm a wild card team and I look at the Bills, do I look at them and think that's the best Bills team I've ever seen? I don't think that. Baltimore, maybe you do think it is Baltimore's best. They lost to the Raiders.
It's probably their best offense, but it also,
yep,
might their be their worst defense at the same time.
Yep.
So,
yep,
like, that kind of almost evens out.
So maybe the, yeah, whole conference looks a little bit more chaotic than it looks tiered, as it has in the past.
I'm looking back at past years, and I think that's probably right. Like, last year, you had the three wildcard teams were Cleveland, Miami, and Pittsburgh. Who are their quarterbacks going into the playoffs?
Joe Flacco, so, Cleveland.
And then Tua.
And then Mason Rudolph.
Yeah. Just two. Cleveland was live at that point, and they were looking really good. But was anybody taking them seriously to, like, win multiple playoff games with Joe Flacco? Maybe we were. Maybe this is, you know, recency bias on Flacco. But I think I can get there on this year being better off than past years. And I think there's probably one major difference for me on that front. Because, like, Denver, I'm not as high on Denver. Like, Denver, I like their defense a lot. But rookie quarterback and an offense that I still think is pretty constipated in general. They're not, like, the worst in the league, but I'm not that impressed. Like, Denver, to me, I would be surprised if they went on and won multiple playoff games, or even maybe a playoff game this year. If they went into Buffalo and beat the Bills, if they went into Kansas City.
They
and
did
beat
just
the Chiefs.
Go into Kansas City and have a kick to win.
Yeah. Playoffs are different.
And they had a lead in that game.
Yeah. So that's right.
Two score.
I think the biggest difference, though, is Pittsburgh.
that they look like a real team.
I think the biggest difference is Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is this team that always makes the playoffs, and they're never actually really that good. Nobody ever takes them seriously to do anything once they got there. Didn't they get smoked by the Chiefs a couple years ago?
Yep. They gave up like 40 points, 42 points. They got hammered by the Browns. The Browns put up 40.
Right.
Baker Mayfield went and put up 40 on Pittsburgh.
That was maybe Roethlisberger's last game, I think. Where they
maybe
they got smoked early in that game too, and then last year against the Bills, that game just felt like it kind of happened. Like the Bills got out in front, and the game just kind of felt like a joke.
It got a little close, but Allen made a couple of superhuman plays, and they were fine.
Does anybody ever get nervous? Like, not I didn't really get
Kyrie
that nervous.
Elam made a really important interception. Like the Steelers were about to go in, maybe,
but the Steelers now are like maybe actually really good. Like maybe playoff win good, which I think is very different from where they've been in past years.
803-0550 our number. I'm putting up a Twitter poll on this. You let me know the choices I should put on this, because I'm asking this question. I think it's a good question to talk about today going into this Chiefs game. Because as much as we want to say this Chiefs game doesn't mean anything symbolically, I do feel like the context of this season matters. So here's the Twitter poll. You tell me the options, Josh, Joe. Tell me what's the right guess. Or, the Bills have their best record of the Allen McDermott era through 9 games. Is it their best team?
10 games.
Ten games. Yeah. And I want to say yes or not sure yet. Do I have to put a no? Can I just say yes or I'm not sure yet? Because if they win the Super Bowl, everyone will say it was their best team. But through 10 games, yes or no? Do you think it's their best team? Is it just as easy as yes or no?
I think you probably have to put no in there. Well, through 10 games, what's the... I'm trying to even think what the other... It's not like an obvious, this team. What are you talking about?
Well, you would just say they were 7-3 before, and I thought they were a better team, but they didn't have a better record because they lost a stupid game here or there. Because...
Yeah, maybe. I think maybe you should probably put the no in there.
Okay.
As a third option.
I'll just put yes or no. Because why not? Let's make it simple. Yes or no. And you can comment either way.
Well, right, because actually, you're right. You shouldn't put... You shouldn't put, I'm not sure yet, because is it their best team through 10 games? This is all the information you get for that specific question. You can't tell me in 3 weeks, oh, that was their best team through 10 games, actually.
That's right. That is cheating.
That would be cheating. So you can't answer not sure yet. You have to answer now. This is them through 10 games.
What's your answer? Best team through 10 games? I mean, you could easily say, yeah, I think it is. Hmm. And then through 14 games say, I don't think it's their best team through 14 games. They have their best record. I mean, 8-2 is nice, really nice. And their losses, one of them they got destroyed, and the other they got a little bit unfortunate and kind of made some big mistakes along the way and also had nobody to throw to.
Is one of these years, though, going to have like a better resume of teams you've beaten, teams you've beaten you by a lot, point differential?
There's a year where you would have beaten what looked like a stronger Chiefs team already by now. There are years where you beat the Rams and the Seahawks when we thought they were good, kind of like Allen's breakout year.
Yeah. That year, I'm looking at that year right now, like 21, they beat the Chiefs by 18.
Yeah.
Right? Like, impressive, right? They beat Houston was bad that year, but they beat Houston 40-0. They beat Washington 43-21. They beat Miami 35-0. But you know where they were through 10 games? They were 6-4.
Yeah.
They got a 2-game difference between those two. That's you know why you can't answer that one? Because they lost to Jacksonville 9-6.
9-6.
I mean, I can't say that team. You lost to Urban Meyer 9-6. The 7-3 team that they had beaten, they beat the Rams, they beat the Titans big, they beat Baltimore, they beat Pittsburgh, they beat Kansas City, they beat Green Bay. Like, these are all pretty good wins, aren't they?
That was the Heat game year, too, so you could just take that
write
loss
that one
away.
Off. The loss to Miami, they had 500 yards offense.
Yeah, their losses that year, where it's that game against Miami, the stupid Minnesota game.
Yes, right.
And then they lost to the Jets by 3. What is that loss?
That's
20-17 at
probably
the Jets.
Three interceptions. Oh, Zach Wilson. Not the opener. It's one of the forgettable Jets games.
It's the game Allen gets hurt at the end.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. Stupid loss.
It was a stupid loss to the Jets.
Ball through Gabe's hands.
I feel like I might want to say. Was that the year, though, where right around the 10 game mark, we started realizing something's off here? That was Dorsey's offense. Remember the Green Bay game? Green Bay Sunday night, like the whole second half, they looked bad.
Yeah.
And it's like, what's going on here? They haven't looked like this on offense in like a year.
Yeah.
And then that carried over into the next week.
That might be the year where Allen, I believe it's Jerry Sullivan, asked him, like, or says, this doesn't look like a Super Bowl offense. And he kind of, and Allen says, like, okay. And that proved to be kind of right. Is that the year they lose to Cincinnati after the Hamlin thing? No, that's too far back. Sorry.
No, you're right. That's the year they lose to the Bengals.
Okay.
Yeah.
The year they lose to the Bengals, that's when something wasn't right.
Yeah.
And we chalked it up to they were exhausted mentally, which also could have been true. Anyway, 803-0550, your number. You can give us a call.
I never did answer the question.
Yes or no? Is it their best team through 10 games? Well, that's the question. We're 10 games in. Is it the best team of the McDermott era? We are 10 games in. It's not the best through 10.
Uh-huh.
Sorry to go through the nuts and bolts of this question. But
yeah, no, I know.
We are 10 games in. Is it their best team?
I feel like something's pulling me to say no.
You know what?
Something's pulling me to say no.
Can I tell you what the Twitter poll says right now
yeah.
with 116 votes in?
Yeah.
Early exit polls. What do you think the number's at?
I don't even know if I have a good guess on that. Is it going to be 60-40 in favor of no?
86% no.
86% no.
Yeah. So there's something pulling a lot of people to say, I don't think it's their
Do we think it's one singular team that's doing that? Is it?
I don't. I don't know what it is.
I mean, the team that I... If anyone asked me just to not think about it, just instinct, what is the best team under the McDermott era? I say the 13-second team.
But that was a team that was 6-6.
Right.
And then
so for this question, it doesn't really work. They got hot late.
They hit it.
They got hot late, and they looked unbeatable, and then obviously what happened in the Kansas City game at the end, this flying on offense. I mean, I want to say that team, but right, they were... What do we think of that team through 10 games? We weren't in a good place, I don't think.
It depends. I mean, I remember when they lost they lose to New England in the wind game.
Yeah, they got 7-6 that year.
And then
7-6.
Right, 7-6. And in overtime against Brady with the comeback.
Yeah.
I felt like that team, the way I felt about last year's team, where they lost in overtime and I thought like, but they figured it out. They're going to be fine now. And I kind of bet you they would run the table, which they did.
They did, yeah.
And that year when they lose to Brady and they lose to New England, we all thought, I mean, not all of us, but I thought, the New England loss was fake. They're going to be fine, and they turned out to be fine.
I think I know, maybe this is, you shouldn't do it this way, because it's one game. I think the thing pulling me to know might be more than the 13-second year, the 13-second game, is the New England game the week before. Because that's the best version, that night is the best version of the Bills I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, well, they're perfect.
And it's hard for me to, not give a team that was capable of that the title for me at the moment of that was the best Bills team I've ever seen. Because I've seen them do something that no other Bills team's ever done, which was...
This Bills team kind of did that against Jacksonville this year.
Yeah.
Kind of.
They did.
But the slow starts
something
might keep
about, you
there.
But, yeah, no, you are right. But Belichick in the playoffs in 3-degree weather, like it was just...
It was a core memory.
Core memory, and it was the best night that I've ever... It's the best I've ever seen them play in my life.
803-0550. We'll get some calls in on this. What do you think? Best Bills team they've had under Allen and McDermott yet? Yes or no? Larry in South Florida. Hey, Larry, good morning.
Hey, guys, before I get to these Sabres and I want to just die with this one, I got to say no. And I think the 13-second year was the best because look at what we did in the playoffs. I still blame McDermott for that, hands down. But that offense was humming. We don't have receivers right now. I mean, we have some nice little weapons under the coverage weapons, but we don't have, like, we went and got Cooper. He played 2 games and he's out 2 games. And I sure hope McDermott's not being uber conservative with him. We need him to have any shot at beat Kansas City. We need him. Cause if not, they're just going to load up and slow down our passing game over the middle and Cook and Davis. And we got to get Davis in the game, but the Sabres are making me nuts. I called you guys yesterday and we chatted briefly, and I said the Sabres worked really hard to get to 500 twice, and then they went on a 3-game losing streak. I said, you know, I'm begging Lindy to get these guys ready, and, you know, they lose to freaking Montreal. I mean, you got a hand-picked team to play. The team you want to play to get over the hump is Montreal, and you lay an egg. So I know this is not Lindy's fault. This has been going on for years. I don't know what the problem is, but I will say, just like with the Von Miller thing, I'm so tired of him. I want him gone. Samuelson, oh my goodness. The guy got benched, and he came back, and I thought he played worse. If you watch that goal, that power play goal by Caulfield where he's standing on the side of the net and just tips it in, Samuelson's in front of the net screening Luukkonen, and I'm thinking Luukkonen saying, just get out of the way, you big lug. But there's a guy to his left that he just keeps looking at. He doesn't touch him. I mean, Samuelson's so big. All you got to do is, I'm not asking him to fight him or tackle him, just push him, knock him down, like get him out of the way. And then he looks at Caulfield while Caulfield's just standing there on the side of that. Move one of them and then get out of Ukpekalugadin's way so we can see the darn shot. Nothing. The pass comes in. He tips it in. He scores. He just looks at him. He goes, oh, I mean, bench him. Send him down to Rochester. Trade him. I don't care what you do with him. I've waited 3 years for this guy to just show something. And every time he shows a little bit of a flash, he gets hurt. So I don't know why we wasted the contract on him so early. And he played yesterday. He was the biggest stiff, in my opinion. And it happened twice. But the Caulfield game, if you didn't notice, go take a look at that goal. There's about a 10-second window there where you're just saying, do something. What are you doing? So I don't know what the answer is for the Sabres. I mean, once again, they got my hopes up. They got this 500. They're in shot to maybe make a little mini run. You lose to the worst team in the NHL. So I don't think it's Lindy, because I think Lindy's got them playing better, and the bottom two lines are better than last year's bottom two lines. Yes, losing Tage was a problem. But, guys, we give up 7 goals to that team. So do you have any answers whatsoever?
A couple things. Thanks, Larry. I do think that overall, structurally, they are playing a better brand of hockey, and they have players playing poorly. Cousins is on the list, of course.
Quinn can't skate.
Quinn's on the list.
Quinn falls like he's playing peewee.
Samuelson had been scratched for a couple games and drew back in.
Yeah.
And it's worth mentioning the captain takes bad penalties now. Dahlin makes huge mistakes.
That is twice now this season
where a
game was live in the third period and he took an undisciplined penalty that cost him.
I mean, to be up a goal in the third, first off, they had a terrible end of the second period, to get two back quickly in the third.
Dahlin, by the way, is the one on the second goal at the end of the second period where he played like the period was over.
Yep.
There's nowhere else for you to be. Cover Nick Suzuki. Why are you standing and reaching? You're not even in his space. He gets an open shot for no reason.
Yep.
There was no one else to cover. Just stand next to Suzuki. Don't let him get an open one-timer.
And I want to make up a stat here and track it. Points surrendered with the lead in the third at home. It reminded me of the Kings game. You're leading at home in the third. You can't come out of that with 0 points. It sounds ridiculous, but when they took the 5-4 lead, I thought, just get a point.
Yeah.
And they didn't. You can't be giving up leads at home and not even being overtime merchants. Get points by just... you and I were both at the game. Josh, you were at the game. It goes to 5-4, and I'm ready to fall asleep for 19 minutes to get a point. I'll take it. Show me the most boring game you can possibly show me. And they couldn't do it.
Yep.
803-0550.
And Samuelson, I mean, you could want to trade him all you want. He's under contract till 2030. They're not trading that contract.
Right. They bet on long-term contracts for players at bargains, and Samuelson and Cousins right now are just both letting them down in a very big way.
And Samuelson's injury prone.
And he was when they signed him.
When they signed him, and here's another one. We'll see what it is. I'm actually more worried that Tage is injury prone. I'm really hoping that's not the case because they can't afford for him to be injury prone.
And last year we saw Tage have some sort of wrist-ish injury, and it made him a different player. They can't afford not only to not have Tage, they can't afford to have half a Tage they did last year.
This would be 3 years in a row. Do you remember at the end of the year where they missed by 1 point? He was banged up at the end of the year. Mittelstadt led them in scoring the last month of the year. They had moved Tage to the wing because he wasn't healthy enough to play center. So this would be 3 years in a row. So I'm really hoping that he doesn't have something because they cannot afford Tage to be getting an injury. It's not even his fault. They can't afford Tage to be getting hurt once a year like that. Their team is not good enough around him for that to happen.
We'll talk with Lindy Ruff at 8 o'clock this morning and see if we can get any sort of update on the health of Tage Thompson, Matias Samuelson, as the Sabres move along after a really tough loss to Montreal. 803-0550, the phone number. Give us a call. Kyle, we'll get right to your call. Want to talk about this. Is this the Bills' best team of the Alan McDermott era? They have the best record, 8-2. Is it their best team? 803-0550. Give us your thoughts. We'll dig into the whys, the balance, all this kind of stuff that, comes along. It's a good conversation and perfect timing with Chiefs Week upon us. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
Cousins wins it back. Dahlin wasting no time. Scores! A rocket from the captain! And the game is tied! A power play goal! 4-4.
Rasmus Dahlin, that was a rocket. One of the moments of the game, one of the Firth moments of the game, brought to you by Firth Jewelers. For all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth. Had a great moment at the game with the family again. Whole family, my wife's whole family, and with my son, who is pretty good about like watching the games. My son and daughter both are. You know, they're a little over 3.5, and they like Tage Thompson and JJ the Turkey. And I got him saying Ukko Pekka Luukkonen now.
The whole thing?
Yeah.
The whole thing.
Ukko Pekka Luukkonen. Yes.
Is it possible they think it's three different people?
It is. I got it. Want to practice the goalie? Ukko Pekka Luukkonen. So anyway, Tage's goal was sweet. It was like a vintage.
It was great.
What? I want to say it had shades of not quite Pominville against Emory, but that you know, along the wall, cut in front.
A little bit.
There's video game glitch goal vibes to it as well. You cut across the goal again. Huh?
That move in NHL 04 worked every single time.
Yeah. So
that goal tied him for the league lead at the time. I don't know if 11. The guy scored yesterday. Reinhardt, I think he was tied with.
Yeah.
I don't know who that is.
803-0550, our phone number, and 1-888-550-2550 to join us. Sabres fall to Montreal, and that's a tough one. We'll talk with Lindy Ruff at 8 o'clock. Talking Bills and ahead of the Bills and Chiefs, is this the best Bills team we've had with Alan McDermott? We've seen. They have the best record, 8-2. They're the best record by a lot. I mean, there have been some years they were 5-5 in this spot. So, and we thought those teams were pretty good, too. But 8-2, it's a nice start for this team, and more than a start. I mean, you're about two-thirds of the way through the schedule almost. So we'll get your calls in on this. Our answers are, I don't think so.
I don't think so. I think is where that's pretty fair for me, I think.
Yeah. If you think no, do you then have to say it's McDermott's best coaching job or that they're being coached better? I mean, I might want to say that about Joe Brady. Joe Brady gets results from this offense. I don't necessarily love all the ways they get to them, but you can't argue with what he's done in terms of the balance that they want, their use of formations and getting, you know, contributions from guys deeper down the depth chart that you would not exactly expect it from.
Yeah.
And Allen's lack of turnovers is also part of it.
They get their points. They've scored 30 points in four straight games.
Yeah.
Like, they get that. So, yeah, Brady's been impressive.
Kyle in South Florida. Kyle, good morning.
Morning, boys. How we doing?
I'm doing good.
Well, Jeremy kind of rolled out some of the reasons that I wrote things down, but I'm superstitious, so I'm not going to say this is the best team. I'm just going to point out things that I've observed, which is when you guys were kind of going back and forth between the different teams, you were counting all of these dumb losses. And we're just, knock on wood, not having as many dumb losses. And I think that's a sign of coaching. That's a sign of growth. That's a sign of maturity of the team. Depth. I called a month ago raving about depth, and I know that that's not sexy, but, man, we're a deep team. And then the other thing we complained about, we got to put ourselves back in 2021, and we were explosive, but we never had Yak. Remember, we were always clamoring for Yak, and we couldn't get production out of the backfield from a passing perspective, and we have that now. So I'm not going to say yes to the question. I'm not going to say no to the question because I'm scarred. But I think as an all-around team, coaching is much improved. The depth is there. We're getting healthier. We'll get healthier too, but we've got all this depth and we're scoring. You guys just said it. It's like you look up and it's not exciting. It was just like this game this last week. I look up and this game was underwhelming by far, and we're up 17. And I'm like, how the heck are we up 17? And we just seem to do that. So, again, knock on wood, all that stuff, but that's my sort of response to the question this morning. Yeah. Good question, though.
Thanks, Kyle. You know, it's funny, like, as you mentioned Yak, I never cared about Yak, but if you're getting to the backs specifically, then that I'll sign up for. I never really cared about receivers getting Yak. You know, it's different. It's 6-1, half dozen of the other, throw it farther or have them catch it and run it. But we did talk yesterday, Joe, about the running back room and how it's probably the best version of it they've had. They use them all.
Yeah.
It used to be what? Singletary, Moss, and a guy they would never use.
It usually felt like they would end up using Singletary because they felt like they had nobody else to use.
Yeah.
In every situation.
And yesterday, Leonard Fournette is trying out with who?
The Titans.
Who is it?
Was it the Bengals?
Okay, the Bengals. That's right. Yeah,
it was the Bengals.
So Leonard Fournette, they brought him in for 5 minutes last year.
Yeah.
And then there's Latavius Murray. And it seemed like that position specifically, it was always, we got ideas. We got to try something else. And that might be their most stable position that they have right now.
I think Murray led them in third down snaps, targets, carries. On third down situations, Murray was their back last year.
Yeah, and sometimes we will sell that idea as like, well, they just came in and surprised everybody. But the other way to say that is, yeah, they didn't have anybody that could do that, and a guy off the street came in and just like took the job. And no one at that position did that this year. That also didn't really happen at receiver either, where they brought in Mac Hollins, who we thought was going to play.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think it's a fair point about their coaching. The only thing I would, you said you're not superstitious, knock on wood. They're getting healthier. You can at any point get unhealthy.
Right.
You know, somebody can, every week you play, somebody can get hurt.
I still, part of this to me is a projection for me too of, like, I thought the only real big. I never really worried about the defensive losses all that much. Like when Hyde was gone and Poyer and all of them, like I just never thought it was that big a loss from what they were last year. And I feel like Rousseau being a lot better than he was early on in his career, like I felt pretty good about where they were defensively. My biggest thing was just you don't have Diggs.
Yeah, receiver.
That was it.
Receiver.
And I know he's only really done things in one game so far, but I'm still pretty darn confident that Cooper is going to give them what they need in that department.
Our first caller, Larry, brought up Cooper, and I feel the same as Larry. Like, hey, glad they got him. Looked great. But the most important ability is going to be availability. And if he doesn't play this week, you said it with Sal. Like, are we going to go on 3 weeks of limited?
Yeah.
And not doing much?
I really wonder. If it's a risk, this is a guess. I really do wonder if it's just simply he can't catch the football right now because of his wrist injury, but they want him practicing the routes. And that's why he's limited. That's why he's out there. Because he can run. There's no problem there.
Yeah.
He can go out on the field. He's practicing the plays. He's just not getting the ball thrown his way because the wrist is preventing him from that.
I think that
could really be all this is.
That would make me wonder, are they practicing the routes and practicing the throws? Like the portion of practice where it's closed.
Yeah.
And Allen throws it and Cooper pretends to catch it.
It's a pretend ball. Yeah.
You know, I wonder if any team's ever done that.
I think didn't someone, maybe Sal said that? I'll find before maybe that somebody said that the coaches were throwing to him last week and not Allen.
Okay.
That's one way
to take a little heat off the ball.
Yeah.
Can you dial a jugs machine back to, like, be funny if the jugs machine had
25
like,
miles per hour.
But it had like Josh Allen, Chad Pennington, you know, just all the way back to whoever.
Chad Pennington catching strays out here. He's probably the right quarterback for that.
Yeah, sure.
He didn't have a very big arm,
no,
right?
No, I didn't go after two. I went after Chad Pennington. I'm sorry. Sorry, Chad. Rob in Connecticut. Hey, Rob.
Hey, good morning, Jeremy. Good morning, Joe. Jeremy, great topic today. It's something that I think about very often. What is the best team since McDermott? And I would actually, this is personally, it's 2021. You know, that was a year that we went and played in the 13-second game. You know, actually it carried over into 2022. Because in my mind, if we had won that game, I always say to myself, Cincinnati was coming to Buffalo and there was no stopping us. I mean, that was it. That was our Super Bowl year, the best team that I witnessed. I was actually able to watch them play the Jets at MetLife Stadium. I had like second row right behind the end zone when Gabriel Davis caught that really nice pass at the 2-yard line right in front of me. I mean, that was a great team under Sean McDermott. I mean, yes, this is the best record since 1993. But the great topic you guys always bring, everything you guys are saying now is exactly on point. I mean, you could say, well, there's this year, but we didn't have that last year or the year before. I think there's a lot of great depth in what we have this year. And I think Babich is doing a very fine job. I think Brady's doing a very fine job. We just got to see how it continues. And, you know, I'm kicking myself in the butt because you know, I've never been to Highmark Stadium, and it's like this Sunday is the one game that I would definitely love to be at before they tear down that stadium. So it's like, oh my gosh. And also today I'm looking forward to 7:30, guys. I already gave you a nice little I don't know, I call it sneaky stats, white on facts recap of the weekend. So looking forward to that, guys. Keep doing what you're doing. But 2021 is the year for me. No, this is not the best. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Rob. Yeah, 7:30, we'll maybe take a crack at Jaron Joe's Knowledge Emporium again.
I think I still like the Emporium.
Yeah. Recapping all the weeks. All the games of the week, rather, including last night, Miami and L.A. Where are they definitely better than
they
any other year? There you
are,
go. There's an
that's
offshoot.
A good way to put it.
Maybe think about this at the break. Where are they definitely better than they've been other years? An easy answer I'll throw in real quickly. Just starting corners.
Okay.
They probably haven't had a 1-2 this good ever. They used to have Tre'Davious White all-pro level, which, by the way, Christian Benford is like on that level.
He really is.
And it was a rotating door of two.
Yeah.
And now it's Douglas and Benford are both great.
Right.
So it might be better at that spot. And past that, you know, we could talk about it. Linebacker went healthy. Bernard and Milano. We've seen so little of them together.
I think their offensive line is better than
that's right. That could be good, too. 803-0550. Kind of shocked at the poll being so lopsided, being 86% no, it's not the best team that the Bills have had. It is their best record. You can join us, 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 on WGR. Happy birthday, Al Michaels. He gets a good game this week for his birthday. Thursday Night Football.
His 80th. Commanders and Eagles.
Yeah.
I love that they started doing division games on Thursday night because it does make it a better slate.
Yes. I'll take the Commanders in this game. I know the Eagles have a good record. I don't think the Eagles are very good. But stat on the Eagles, we could have saved this for Jaron Joe's Knowledge Emporium at 7:30.
Yeah.
I think Saquon's been tackled at the 1 or 2 10 times this year and not scored.
Okay.
Ian Harditz tracks that. He's a fantasy writer who tracks guys that got to the 1 and then didn't get in on the next play because Jalen Hurts steals so many touchdowns.
Right.
And Barkley's got like 10 of those. Last year was DeAndre Swift. If you are in fantasy football and draft an Eagles running back, you have to prepare yourself to hate watching them play because your guy gets right to the doorstep and then they're like, oh, you take it.
Yeah. We'll get to them. I'm higher on them right now because I think Hurts is playing better than he ever has in his life. Hurts is cooking down the field. Like, he's completing passes deep. He's got good receivers for that. But I think Hurts is the biggest difference for me right now between where I would have been with the Eagles a year ago. I think he's just playing better in general.
803-0550, our phone number. Is this the best Bills team we have seen in the Alan McDermott era? They have the best record they've had. We're talking about that with you. Mike on a cell phone. Hey, Mike, good morning.
Hey, guys. Since you didn't rule out the option of I'm not sure yet, I'm going to have to go with yes. And there's three reasons for that. One, what's obviously better about this team than the other teams is the running game. 3 years ago, every time a running back became available, every national media was going to say, well, when's he going to go to the Bills? We don't have that anymore. Number two is the quarterback play with the subtraction of Diggs. I think the quarterback's playing smarter. He's throwing the ball away. He's not trying to sugar high Josh. And the receivers go into number three, which is depth. The bye is coming up. We're about to have a surplus of linebackers instead of the opposite of what we had in the playoffs last year. Assuming that Keon and Amari Cooper are healthy. We've had Matt Collins playing. We've had Cam Lewis playing. We've even had Cole Bishop playing, Kyrie Thielen playing. So going into the playoffs with the bye week ahead of us, we've got like a really good second string. And the other reasons, I'm just going to go with yes.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. As we were talking yesterday with It was either Sal or Chris. You know, it's not new, I don't think, for the Bills' defense to have next man up and have success.
Mm-hmm.
They've not been asked to do that on offense all that much. If I'm comparing offensive to defensive injuries in the last, like, 3-4 years, doesn't the defense get way more hurt? Who have you lost on offense? Davis occasionally.
Davis.
Never Diggs. Lineman, nobody last year.
They've lost a couple receivers. Like, they've lost Coleman here, right?
But, no, I mean, previous years.
Oh, yeah, they never lost
offense
anybody.
Didn't get hurt.
Diggs never missed a game.
Defense got hurt all the time. And
yeah.
So we haven't had that many spots where you need someone to step up, like Mac Hollins did last week.
Right.
He's kind of pressed back into that starter role that we wanted him out of. And as a depth player jumping up, oh, that looks good. You really haven't had to have that too much with offense so far. So depth is a point here. And running back, you know, I think Joe and I are both in agreement. They're stronger at that position than they have been in quite some time. 803-0550 on this conversation, on the AFC East as well. Two of the three teams won. I don't think they're going to compete for the division, but the Dolphins and the Patriots are both alive at this point. We'll maybe throw a thought their way and get yours on whether or not this is the best Bills team yet. 86% say no in our Twitter poll. Not their best team. Not convinced yet. Jeremy and Joe, give us a call. We have some open lines and some people to get to on the other side here on WGR.